You're listening to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. There's really no other way to say it. Mandy Moore is incredibly charming. Speaking to her, you can easily see how she became a pop star at the tender age of 15. Her enthusiasm is contagious. Her smiles are bright and frequent. She's what one might describe as bubbly. But now, a couple decades removed from her teen pop star life, she also has the wisdom that comes from not just a lifetime of navigating Hollywood, but of navigating relationships and from having to overcome pretty serious self-doubt. Her life has changed a lot over the past few years. She now plays a starring role on the TV series This Is Us, and she also got married to fellow musician Taylor Goldsmith, the frontman of the band Dawes. I spoke to Mandy Moore back in April about all of that stuff and about her new album, Silver Landings, which she co-wrote with Goldsmith, who also plays on the record. Starting off with a track where you might be able to hear his influence. From Silver Landings, this is Mandy Moore with Save a Little for Yourself. That was Save a Little for Yourself from Mandy Moore's latest album, Silver Landings. I'm Raina Duris. So happy to have Mandy Moore as my guest on World Cafe today. Mandy, welcome to World Cafe.
Thank you for having me. Hi.
Hi. I am speaking to you from an apartment in Toronto right now via Zoom. Where are you at the moment while we're all self-isolating?
I am sitting in my bedroom in Los Angeles.
And how's it been going so far, being stuck at home?
You know, I feel incredibly lucky. Things are not bad. I am quarantined with my husband, Taylor, and our animals. Everyone's healthy and happy and just trying to plug along and be productive and not be productive. And I don't know, take some collective deep breaths and get through this time together.
I should say, for people who might not know your husband, Taylor Goldsmith of the band Dawes, World Cafe favorite as well. And so what have you guys been up to? Have you, like you said, you're trying to be productive. What have you been working on any music? Have you been able to do anything like that?
Yeah, he and I have been writing a little bit together. I've been practicing guitar, so that's somewhat productive because I'm a terrible guitar player. And we have been doing these sort of little weekly Instagram concerts because before all of this unfolded, we were supposed to be on the road. I haven't toured in about 13 years. And I was so excited at the prospect of taking not only Dawes, the entire band was coming out to be my band, but my very dear friend, Mike Viola, who produced this record, and we wrote the whole thing together with Taylor. All of us were sort of going to venture out on the road to play. And so since that's obviously not happening at the moment, it gives us an excuse to like work towards something. The day before, I'm like, hey, can you learn this song? I want to be with you. I recorded it when I was like 17. But so, you know, there's not like a ton of thought put behind it, but it does feel like, I don't know, slightly productive.
I know you were really excited about getting out on tour, and that must have been a really tough call to make. But I did like the fact that you just said that you're working on your guitar playing. And I was curious, other than your own music, what's like the first song that you were like, oh, I got this on guitar that wasn't yours?
Actually, I've been playing my husband's song, Million Dollar Bill, because there's like four chords in it. And so I can very slowly sort of play and practice. And he's been showing me, he's like, okay, so those like the six chords that you know, you can play this song of yours and you can play that song of yours. So I've been trying my hand a little bit at playing some of my own music. I mean, very terribly. I'm not going to be accompanying myself on stage anytime soon, but it's just more of like, I've had a lot of, I've had a lot of baggage around the idea of playing an instrument, and it's something I've sort of picked up and put down for, my gosh, like well over a decade. And so having this time at home and giving myself some sort of structure in the day, I think helps pass the time a little bit more easily and without, with a little bit less anxiety of like, oh, you know, it feels like Groundhog Day every day.
You know, it's interesting that you said that the song that you've been playing was one of Taylor's from his band. I read that seeing Taylor on stage was part of what inspired you to want to get back up there yourself.
Oh,
could
yes.
you talk about that sort of feeling of that moment or watching him and being like, oh, this is it?
Well, the funny thing is, when I first met Taylor, I heard his song on the radio. I heard the band's song on the radio. I didn't know who they were. I went to the radio station's website and sort of
what song was
up. It was Most People.
And she thinks most people don't talk enough about how lucky they are.
Okay.
And I was like, wow, I love this. I feel like I haven't heard, I know this is a new band or, you know, like a modern band. It's not an old song. And I wanted to find out who it was. And I went on their website and sort of looked through the playlist. And then that led me to like looking up some of their records. And I saw they had a new album coming out and I Instagrammed about it. And that's actually how we met, because someone pointed him in the direction of my Instagram. I mean, this was before I knew how to, you know, that you were supposed to tag people and all that stuff. It was a new medium for me. But we quickly sort of by way of Instagram sort of started a correspondence email kind of relationship, and that led us to finally like hanging out and having a meal together, and then that led us to eventually dating. But I wasn't familiar with his band really, and I didn't know how incredible they were live. And I remember in the very beginning of our relationship and courtship, like joining them on the road and seeing them perform live and immediately feeling this pang of jealousy, like, oh my gosh, they look like they're having so much fun. Taylor specifically, he like bounces around on stage and plays guitar and is like dancing. And he's so joyful on stage. And I remember thinking like, I know that feeling. It helped me tap into it and remember it again. And I missed it so terribly. And it was like in that very beginning stages of our relationship that I remember thinking, I have to figure out how to experience this again and make music again, because I know what it's like being on stage and performing in front of an audience. And there really is no substitution for that rush of adrenaline.
I'm speaking to Mandy Moore about her new album, Silver Landings. I'm Raina Duras. It's World Cafe. You have been performing in the meantime. We're going to get into the album a bit more in just a minute, but making music's not your only job. You also have a starring role in the television show This Is Us. You play a character named Rebecca. I'd imagine filming that show keeps you pretty busy. So how do you find the time? How do you balance starring in a TV show and making a record?
Yeah, I mean, I guess just like anybody that wants to sort of try their hand at a lot of things, you prioritize. And the show definitely keeps me busy. We shoot 8 months out of the year. We wrote most of this record in 2019 before I went back to work last summer. The trick was sort of trying to find these holes in my schedule to find our way into the studio and make sure that the band was available, because, you know, Taylor and my brother-in-law Griffin played drums, and trying to assemble you know, studio time around their schedule and my shooting schedule was kind of tricky. But the way and the process by which we made this record was unlike what I had ever done before in terms of producing an album. We wanted to record this record live on the floor to tape.
Why was that decision to record live to tape? Why was that important to you?
I figured, look, I haven't made a record in over a decade. No one's sort of waiting with bated breath for me to make new music. I'm making this record for my own pleasure, and I want it to be exactly how I want it to be. And it made it more exciting and thrilling and, I don't know, like kind of mimicking performing live.
And you also collaborated with former Death Cab for Cutie member Chris Walla on one track called Easy Target.
Yeah.
Could you tell us how that came together?
Through Mike Viola, actually. He knows Chris and was like, hey, would you want to get together with this guy? And I was like, sure, absolutely. Like, obviously, I'm a fan of everything that he's done. But I had a very specific thing that I wanted to write about and that I had in mind. And that's a funny thing about collaborating, especially with more than one person. It's like it is entirely necessary for everybody to be on the same page. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And in this case, it was one of those like fruitful situations.
We're going to hear a little clip of Easy Target right now. And you did mention that when you came to Chris, you had a specific subject in mind. So what was that? What were you so eager to write about for this song?
Yeah. Without getting into like something too specific, I think I'm fully aware of my standing in the world. And in many ways, I kind of feel like an outsider and an outlier. And I think this song specifically touches on our relationship with like social media and being a part of this like interconnected community where people are allowed to sort of instantaneously respond to you and connect to you. And I guess it's about trying to understand my standing in the world. And that at one point or another, we're all sort of an easy target. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. Yeah. It totally does. Let's take a listen right now. This is Easy Target from Mandy Moore.
Out in the light, face in the wind, got nothing to hide. Ready to begin, to begin, to begin again. A man's gotta fight.
On World Cafe, that's a bit of Easy Target from Mandy Moore's new album, Silver Landings. Silver Landings is your seventh studio album in a long career that reaches back a couple decades now. And I'd love to go back to a moment at the very beginning. Could you take us to the Orlando Magic game you went to when you were a kid where you realized that maybe you wanted to be a performer?
Yeah, I was a little girl, and I remember my parents had season tickets to the Orlando Magic, and I watched a girl my age go out and sing the national anthem. It was this light bulb moment for me. After that, I was consumed by the idea of like, I'm gonna sing the national anthem. And I had my parents record me with my little pitch pipe, and somehow I got chosen. My VHS reached the right people, and they chose me to come and sing the national anthem. I found this electricity that sort of coursed through me when I was on stage or performing in front of people. And that sort of, I think, was a moment that really set me in this direction to wanting to, I don't know, be on stage and to sing. Yeah.
So how did you go from that little girl singing the national anthem to releasing your debut album, So Real, in 1999? How did they make that jump?
So funny to think about a 15-year-old releasing a record called So Real. I mean, it's a crazy, long-winded story, but it kind of begins and ends with me singing the national anthem, kind of being discovered by these quasi-record producers in Orlando where I grew up, recording a demo. A kind man who was a FedEx delivery man, hearing me sing, and somehow he had a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who was the head of urban A&R at Epic Records, and he sent this unfinished demo of mine up the chain to reach this gentleman who worked at Epic Records, who flew down to Orlando, heard me sing, and then signed me on the spot. And then I left. This was, goodness, not even halfway through my freshman year of high school. And I left around holiday, Christmas break that year. And the next year, right after the holidays, I started recording my debut record. And that was that. That was the end of 98, beginning of 1999.
I'm speaking to Mandy Moore on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Let's just take a quick listen to a bit of the single Candy from that album, So Real.
So baby, come to me, show me who you are.
So that was a long time ago. But you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I heard that you did get Candy ready to play again for this most recent tour that isn't happening right now. But I was curious, how do you take a song like Candy and make it into a song you can play with a band? You know, Dawes and Candy, they sound pretty different.
They do sound pretty different. And the music sounds quite different than Candy. Well, you know, when you have a remarkable band like Dawes, you could kind of play anything. They make anything sound good.
Yeah, I mean, you said in the past that you didn't love those first albums you made, but then you sort of warmed to them. So what was it that changed that for you?
Oh, goodness. There's no substitute for the wisdom that comes along with getting a little older. I think I just in time have sort of come around to the fact that this was an incredible opportunity that I lucked into, signing a record deal at 15 and having some semblance of a career. And while I didn't have a ton of creative control over the music that I was singing at that point in my life, there are so many people that have a connection to it. And I don't want to disparage their choices, but also it's the idea of loving that 15-year-old and loving who I was, and that I had the wherewithal to withstand what could have been, you know, some pretty tumultuous years. And it ended up working out okay for me, and I've sort of come out the other side of it, the, you know, pretty highly functioning adult, I guess. So it's like I can look back on that time and have a lot of fondness and affection for myself and even the music that I was doing then. It's all of it's not going to be my cup of tea, but I'm proud of myself.
There is a song on your new album that does seem to touch on that part of your life as a teen pop star. It's called 15. We're going to hear that next. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
Yeah, I guess this song was something that had to have been written for this record to kind of exist. Like, the record is really self-reflective in many ways, and it's sort of about reclaiming my relationship with myself and my relationship to music and kind of like regaining control of the wheel again. And part of that was apologizing to this young version of myself, because I think I apologized to the world on behalf of her for so long. And like we just touched on, I kind of reached that point in my life where I was like, that's unnecessary. And she is such a huge part of who I am, and I still carry her around with me. And so this is a song that sort of is showing appreciation for her and all she brought to me.
This is 15. It's Mandy Moore on World Cafe.
Young girl up early, wasn't old enough to drive. Took a trip from Seminole County with a mother by her side. Next stop, New York City. World was falling at her feet. She thought she was making.
On World Cafe, I'm Raina Duras. That was Mandy Moore, song 15 from her new album, Silver Landings. I'm speaking to Mandy Moore right now on the show. You have this new album out. You have your role on This Is Us. Things are going very well for you, I would say, like at least from an outside perspective, it looks that way. But about 5 years ago, I hear you were considering leaving Hollywood. Is that, that true?
Yeah, I think my professional and personal life sort of coincided at this, you know, very tangled moment of, I just felt so lost and so small in my own life. I felt like I wasn't in control and I didn't know who I was. And I just felt like there was no momentum in any direction. And so I kind of reached the conclusion, that maybe my time was up. You know, I've been doing this since I was 15. I'm now 36, but at that time I was like, wow, I've had a pretty good run. So maybe I could pack it in and go back to Florida where I grew up, and maybe I'll go back to school, or maybe I'll just take some time off the radar and figure out what my next move is. But it felt like the only step for me. You know, the life of an actor, which is what I had really been concentrating on during that particular juncture, is it is filled with rejection. I mean, that's mm-hmm. just sort of the name of the game. And I think I had gotten my fill of that and was like, okay, I need a plan B. I feel so dejected and so lost. Like, but you know, I also am a human being, and I somehow found a way to stick it through and practice patience. And, you know, not long after I ended a relationship, and then not long after that, I ended up getting cast in This Is Us, and that sort of exponentially changed my world for the better. And there you go.
Yeah, I was wondering if that had something to do with the song Trying My Best Los Angeles on the album.
Yes, my relationship with Los Angeles, where I live, and I love it here, is tricky at best. I mean, I'm definitely in a good place with the city now, but man, it will chew you up and spit you out, that's for sure. And so that song is my ode to, like, to all of that mixed bag of emotions and feelings of, you love it, but you also hate it at the same time. And it really is a company town through and through. But I've stuck it out, and I've been here for the better part of almost 2 decades now. And it is home, and I can't imagine being anywhere else.
Here's just a little clip of Trying My Best Los Angeles from Mandy Moore's new album.
I always dreamed of this place where ocean meets sky. My name on a dotted line. I got caught up in a wave of traffic gone by. Stuck here waiting for a sign. Stuck here waiting for a sign. Well, I'm trying my best, Los Angeles, to the last.
I'm speaking to Mandy Moore about her new album, Silver Landings. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe. So we were just talking about you thinking about leaving LA. And yeah. There was that 10-year gap between your last album and this one. And you've talked about how during that period you also felt some self-doubt around making music. How did that self-doubt shape the music that you ended up making?
That's a good question. I sort of reached a boiling point maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago, where I was like, if I want to make music like I keep claiming, and like I very much know in my heart of hearts, I have to do it for myself. No one's going to do it for me. And I think the way I started my career and the good fortune that I had, and you know, for things to sort of unfold the way that they did, I was so sort of used to having the machinery behind me of a record label and management and deadlines, and all of that never really gave me the excuse to take a step back. So when I did take a step back and all of that sort of shut down, I think for years I really leaned on those ideas as excuses. Well, I'd love to make music, but I just don't know how. I don't have a manager. I don't have a record label. How would anything get out in the world? And that was silly, because obviously it starts with me, and it starts with just writing the music. And so I had to do a lot of soul searching and therapy, I guess, in terms of really dropping the bags of what was preventing me, the fear and the self-doubt around making music again. And once I sort of worked my way through that, I just sort of took some baby steps. You know, I obviously leaned on Taylor and I leaned on Mike, but it was the idea of not putting that intense pressure on myself right out of the gate. that I think helped eventually get us to what Silver Landings is.
I'm speaking to Mandy Moore on World Cafe. And I'm thinking about that direction that you're heading in and the momentum of creativity and how that momentum works. You know, you said in between when you were trying to get yourself to make music, how when you feel creatively blocked or you feel like you can't do it, that can sort of self-perpetuate, make it harder to create. But now that you're back into this, now that you've made this album, now that you've released this album, what does the future look like for you when it comes to making music?
Well, we're writing music right now, and I'd love to figure out how and when, you know, we'd get back into the studio and make another record, make an EP. I just don't want there to be this decade-long lapse between albums again. And I feel like I am a fully realized version of myself. I feel incredibly lucky to have this day job, you know, playing Rebecca Pearson on This Is Us. It's the best gig I've ever had. I am very much creatively fulfilled, but there's still a part of my spirit and my artistic, you know, my artistic being that, without sounding ridiculous, that it isn't fulfilled, because that's where music sort of colors me in. And I want to constantly be, you know, sort of trying to find that balance of both at the same time.
The last song we're going to hear from the album is When I Wasn't Watching. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
Well, it sort of stems from that utter confusion of not knowing where to start. It's actually the first song that I wrote for the record back in 2016. And halfway through the writing process for Silver Landings, I was flipping through the voice memos on my phone and I came across this. And we were at Mike's house and I was like, oh, Taylor, do you remember this song that we wrote? And Mike hadn't heard it. And he's like, I love that song. And so the three of us sat there and sort of found a way to kind of rework it. But it was a song that I think I had tried to write several times in several ways, just the being confounded in terms of how to sort of start and the mixed emotions and confusions that come with what we've been talking about pretty much the whole interview, like that dormant period of not recognizing, you know, something that you've always known yourself to be or to do, and having to figure out how to sort of start that back up again, and knowing there's a million different ways you could sort of take something, but also understanding that that journey is exactly what adds up to where you are, and it's where you need to be, and it's where you start from. And so we just sort of took that idea and I guess kind of ran with it a little bit.
I just got goosebumps when you said that last part about like actually literally.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
It was so nice. Okay, let's take a listen to When I Wasn't Watching. It's Mandy Moore on World Cafe.
Where was I when this was going down? Maybe sleeping in, maybe out of town. Spent a whole life waiting patiently, convinced it all.
That was When I Wasn't Watching. It's from Mandy Moore's new album, Silver Landings. That album is out now. It is a great record. Mandy Moore has been my guest on the show today. Mandy, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's so nice to talk to you. I'm sorry that we can't be there in person.
It's okay. You'll just have to come in next time you're in Philly.
Exactly.
Perfect. I'm Raina Duras. We'll be back in a moment with more World Cafe.